30 years ago today, the city of Saigon fell to communist forces. The South Vietnamese government surrendered, and what the Vietnamese called the American War ended. Vietnam was united under the communist flag, realizing the old dream of the longtime northern leader, Ho Chi Minh, who did not live to see the end of the war. NPR's Michael Sullivan has been traveling from the north to the south of the country this week, examining life in Vietnam 30 years after the war. He reports today from Saigon, now called Ho Chi Minh City.
Fireworks over the Saigon River, part of the celebration marking the day 30 years ago when North Vietnamese troops and Viet Cong guerrillas entered the city. The beginning of communist rule, and for a time, the end of U.S. involvement here. Today, the government marked the anniversary with speeches, parades, and lavish performances all over the city. But 50-year-old Nguyen Van, a former officer in the South Vietnamese Army, chose not to attend the festivities. His memory of that day is a bitter one.
Cũng có những chiếc xe bộ đội về Sài Gòn thì cũng có một số người dân ra.
That day, he says, when the Viet Cong arrived, some people came out to welcome them, but most stayed home. We didn't know what might happen. The communists came to my house, and they took me away. I spent 2 years in a re-education camp, he says. There wasn't enough food, but at least my camp was under the control of the military. The camps run by the police, he says, were much, much worse. The classes we had to attend were a joke, he says. We had to study their ideology about how just their cause was and about how bad the southern government had been. We sat in classes and studied or listened to the loudspeakers, but nobody, he says, really believed any of it. After his release, Nguyen tried to flee Vietnam as part of the exodus of economic and political refugees the West dubbed the boat people. Things were so bad here then, he says, if there'd been enough boats for everyone, no one would have stayed. Caught by the police, he spent 2 more years in prison, but 25 years later, he's now comfortable, if not prosperous, and so are many others. The economy is growing at more than 7% a year, second only to China's, and the former capital of the South is the engine pulling the train. The former Saigon and its neighboring provinces produce roughly 40% of the country's gross domestic product, and nearly three-quarters of its exports. There's money here. Some seem to be spending it here, in the sprawling new development of Saigon South, just across the river, where customers inspect a model three-bedroom apartment that goes for about $150,000. Saigon South is a joint venture between the Vietnamese government and a Taiwanese firm, Phu My Hung. The project's Taiwanese marketing director, Alpha Chen, says the company has built and sold nearly 3,000 residential units. The cheapest is roughly $40,000. Villas go for a cool $750,000.
I guess more than 90% of the customers local Vietnamese. I also live in this area. All of my neighbors, almost every Vietnamese is richer than me. The people who do the business of textile, the factories, they export a lot of things to other countries, especially to America also a lot. So this kind of new rich people.
Not bad for a developing country where per capita income is a little more than $500, or just over $1.50 a day. Don Lam, managing partner of Vina Capital, says the numbers don't give an accurate picture of what's really going on.
GDP grows 78%, but the real GDP is much higher. A lot of the economy is actually underground. Two is there's $3 billion that's submitted back or remit back from overseas Vietnamese every single year. That's declared. The undeclared is about twice as much. So it's about $6 billion that's coming back every year. And again, this money is circulated, generated, and consumed underground.
And that helps explain the explosion of consumer goods on the streets of Ho Chi Minh City, the designer clothing outlets, and the ever-expanding number of motorcycles already clogging the streets. Don Lam says he expects the economy to continue growing at roughly the same rate, with more foreign investment, provided the communist government continues on its free market path. Don Lam was one of the boat people who fled Vietnam in 1979. Now he's back to participate in and cash in on Vietnam's economic revival.
Democracy is a fantastic idea, but it got to apply the right timing. A lot of the country in Asia it's not the right timing. For people in the street, they just think about, how do I get a better job? How do I provide for my family? The model that everybody's looking at now is Singapore. Economically, pretty prosperous. Everybody seems to be pretty happy. Singaporeans pretty proud of themselves. What's wrong with that? So that's what I think Vietnam is striving for.
Former South Vietnamese soldier Nguyen Van says the Singaporean model is a good one, but grumbles about the slow pace of economic development under the communists. It shouldn't have taken us 30 years for us to get where we are now, he says. If they hadn't interfered, we'd have been there in 3. But he concedes things are better than they were when the country was still at war. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Ho Chi Minh City.